Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, sponsored by Green Line Service Corp. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Rick Pullen and Matt Kelly in this morning. It is Inform Fredericksburg, which we'll talk about just... Transparency in government is what to Inform Fredericksburg is all about. Good morning, guys. Good to have you here this morning.
Good morning.
Been a while since you've been here. For those who are not aware, Inform Fredericksburg is what?
Basically, Inform Fredericksburg is a group of city residents who got together and decided that the amount of information the public was getting on any particular issue was somewhat lacking. So we try to focus on just providing the information to the public and let the reader kind of take that information and make their own determination of whether they support something or they don't support something. So we try not to take hard stands on issues. We do
are
on transparency.
On transparency, on government transparency.
Yeah.
It's the only thing we advocate for. And there's a lot going on to advocate for government transparency in Fredericksburg.
And we'll get into a lot of that this morning. The best way to get Inform Fredericksburg Facebook, but you also now have
On Substack. So if you just look at Inform Fredericksburg on Substack, then what happens is you get, obviously when we post something, you get a notification on your phone that something's new up, and you can actually read it on your phone. And then, of course, we're also on Facebook. And as of now, we just broke 1,100 followers. So
okay. Something like 15,000
views. We get 15,000 views per story now, so... So we're doing pretty well.
When you post something, you get a lot of it's an interesting place to have discussion on city issues.
We're the only organization that does any sort of investigations. I guess that's the way to do it.
Yeah,
because we'll take a topic and we'll dig into it and what does this mean to the public, you know, and it's usually a topic city council really doesn't want you to know about. Which is where the transparency part comes in. So, you know, in that way, people are starting to find us and notice us, and they're starting to read us. So,
and we should say, as far as investigative things go, Rick, you're a former investigative, or
yes,
still are, right?
Reporter.
Reporter with the Freelance Star and others, and an author.
Yeah.
And Matt, you were on city council and involved with local government for a long time.
Yeah, I'm the policy wonk of the organization.
Yeah. I'm the writer.
So having you two is always interesting and informative in a lot of things. And that's like we said, what you all try to do is just get people to look a little deeper or ask more questions.
Yep. And so what we're looking at right now is city council's asking the state legislature to raise the tax rate on land in the city. And
specifically it would allow the council to set separate rates for land versus property.
Versus a building.
Now
what you have is, you know, obviously every building's on a piece of land and it's taxed at one rate. So what this would allow them to do is tax the land at one rate and tax the building at another rate. And the proposal at the moment, and it's gone nowhere, I mean, it's the legislature's just gearing up. The proposal would not allow the tax rate on a building to be any higher than the tax rate on land. So what happens when you do this sort of situation, Pennsylvania has been doing it for years, is you raise the tax rate on land, and you raise it, you know, as high as you need to raise it in order to incentivize people who own land, like just vacant land or parking lots or whatever it might be, make it so painful that they feel they have to develop it. And that's what the city wants to happen. They want more density in the city, so they want more development in the city, and obviously they want more commercial development. But, you know, as city council often is, it's not transparent about what it's trying to do. There's about 30 seconds in a work session last October in which was this Will McIntosh, Councilman McIntosh, talked about this. And it's referenced in various things, but it's never really explained very well.
And he
mention that he wanted to use this to pressure shopping centers to do something more with their shopping centers. And basically what that means is, you know, if you get rid of a parking lot, And so you, or, which, you know, I mean, think about it. I mean, and I don't think this would happen, but you could have a parking garage taxed at a lower rate. Well, it would be taxed at a lower rate than a parking lot. And whether, you know, the value of that parking garage would probably be a lot higher, but at the same time, the whole thing is to push, you know, for more development, or, you know, put residential development there or whatever it is, but it's all about density. And Will McIntosh and most of the city council now is all about increasing the density in Fredericksburg.
And the interesting thing about it from a transparency perspective, as Rick alluded to, you know, we've been back and forth with the city trying to get information on this story to get some more information on it. And they sent the series. Oh, they spoke about it at this work session. They, you know, they voted on it, and here's the documents, and here's the letters that the city manager sent out. But there was in the work session. It's a one question to an assistant city manager says, "Oh, I'll look into it." That's the limit of the conversation, yeah, as it appears.
The public conversation.
When you look at the actual document they passed, which by the way passed on a 7-0 vote with no comment. There was no discussion. It just went up, got voted. You look at the document. This is not mentioned in the document that was sent to us and was passed by the city council. It's not in there.
Now, and here's one of the ramifications of this. So residents are the ones who are going to get nailed. And how that happens is, okay, I mean, remember, we're going after developers. We're going after commercial property, all that, because we want them to develop it so we get the tax revenue from it. But you can't raise the tax rate on a vacant piece of land owned by a developer without raising the same, using the same tax rate on your home. So the land, here's what may happen, is someday in the not too distant future, the land under your house might cost you more in taxes than your actual house. And obviously, I think city council will try to mitigate some of the pain by lowering, you know, the rates on the homes. But who knows? I mean, city council has, you know, raised taxes through the roof over the last 5 years to pay for all the stuff that it's got to pay for. And we've talked about that in the past, you know, new school, new wastewater treatment plant, you know, all the different things that the city's got to pay for. It's got to pay for it somehow. And it doesn't have the commercial tax revenue to pay for all this. So city residents are the ones who end up paying for it.
So this is one of those situations where there can be things that, like you say, affect homeowners.
Right.
Yeah, and if this is something that directly affects your constituency, you would think that you would be upfront about it and say, hey, we're doing this. This is why we're doing it. This is the pain. This is the benefits of doing it. I mean, we've even had members of our group reach out to Josh Cole, our member of the House of Delegates, that say, hey, you're the one leading the charge on this. It's his bill.
Yeah.
You know, what are you doing? And his total response has been, oh, we're doing it because the city council asked us to do it.
And that's the only way we know city council asked for it, because Matt has tried over and over and over to find out, you know, ask for emails, ask for communications,
yeah,
with Josh Cole, and all he's gotten is a runaround, which is what happens now when you file an FOI request with the city. You just get a runaround. They do not want to release public information to the public, which the public owns.
The latest and greatest is, and again, all we're trying to do is, you're bringing this idea forward. You owe an explanation to the public of why you're bringing it forward and what you're doing with it.
Yeah.
I've now been told that I need to pay $45 to cover roughly 35 to 40 minutes of staff expense to get the information that we're requesting. So here we are.
So his taxes don't count for anything. You know, that he's paying these people already.
But we're asking for information that the public should have, and now we're being told we have to pay for it.
Hmm. That's the way the city runs.
It is Informed Fredericksburg this morning. Matt Kelly, Rick Poland here. More coming up on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Sponsored by Green Line Service Corp. Miss a part of the show? No problem. Just subscribe to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. And now, back to your host, Ted Schubel.
It is Informed Fredericksburg in this morning. Rick Poland and Matt Kelly. Again, they are on Substack or on Facebook for to read up on All the different. It seems like about every week.
We're trying to get on a weekly schedule. We're trying to put a post up either Monday or Tuesday. We did this one a little bit early because we were coming on the show on Tuesday, so we figured we'd get one up before we came on.
Where do you want to go to next?
Well, let's talk about City Councilman Will McIntosh again. He recently put a video up on his Facebook page in which he basically castigated one of his constituents who renovated a house on Sunken Road and wanted to sell it. I think it's 1,600 square feet. Wanted to sell it for $600,000. And what Will suggested was he should have invested a whole lot more money in the house and
tear it down,
turn it into three units and sell each one for $300,000. Well, you know, of course Will's not into real estate, doesn't understand the finances or about any of that, but you know, so he, you know, and he used this house as an example. And you know, it's one thing to like advocate for a position, it's another to trash one of your constituents for no reason. And so he did that, and in the process, he kind of ignores his own personal life or whatever, that we all, you know, we all face the same sort of market pressures. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, he owns rental property that is, according to HUD, is about 30% more expensive than affordable housing, and he's promoting affordable housing. I mean, the whole purpose, I know I'm rambling, but the whole purpose of what he was trying to do was to point out the city needs more tools so that it can have denser development in single-family neighborhoods. So he wanted to take this one, so he made an example of this one house where he thought you should turn one house into three living units on a single piece of property. And I mean, that's his goal. And so that's what he was advocating. But in the process, he kind of trashed the constituent and kind of ignored his own situation where he's, you know, if he's an advocate for affordable housing, why isn't he providing it too?
Well, the other aspect of it is it did not go into, this is the policy wonk speaking now, you know, that area of the city, you know, around the college has parking issues and has other issues, and now you're trying to push more density. So there's no discussion of the impact on the neighborhood of expanding density in those lower and older neighborhoods, which is going to be, would be a problem. I mean, again, we're never would advocate that the city just be poured amber over it and it stays the way it is. It's going to grow, and there's places for it to grow. But there are places that, frankly, have challenges to try to put this level of density into it. And that is, does not even register with Will and the council. It's just anywhere you can stick it. And the automatic assumption is, well, if you make three units instead of one, everything's going to be cheaper for everybody. And that's just not the case. There's nothing to justify that. In fact, what's going to end up happening is, when you start playing this game, then you're making land values, which we talked about earlier, go up significantly.
Yeah.
People are going to buy up the smaller houses to do what? Either rip them up. And again, we're dealing with the Princess Anne project, where what's going back in place is more expensive than what it is replacing.
Find me a single living unit that would be condo or townhouse or single family home that is new construction being built right now for under $600,000. It's not there. And so for city council to be advocating all the time for affordable housing, you know, all their policies are doing just the opposite.
Well, it goes beyond that. You look at the Princess Anne project. The Princess Anne project is a group, 21 townhomes going on right across, basically across the street from Mason-Dixon and Carl's. And it's mind-boggling to read the staff report. You got to sometimes wonder whether city staff is representing city residents or whether it's representing developers, because some of this stuff gets bizarre, because they actually make an argument in the initial report that this is going to be affordable. And they acknowledge it's high-quality development. There are four stories. There's no way they're going to be affordable. Nothing that has been built or is in the process of being built in the city housing-wise, this includes Mary's Landing, this includes the hospital renovations, this includes the 30 units that are going to go in the old medical arts building.
But don't forget all of the stuff over there along 95.
95, yeah. On Fall Hill
That's
Avenue, all the 600 plus units of Fall Hill. This is, none of this is going to be, quote, fall within the affordable category.
And, you know, you can't blame builders. I mean, they're going to build what the market will bear, mm-hmm. and they're going to build, you know, they make more money on a bigger house, or more expensive house, I should say. And so that's what they're going to build. You know, I mean, nobody's out there building $300 homes, $300,000 homes anymore. And, you know, and Fredericksburg is a little island in the sea of suburbia. The demand for housing in the city is huge. Everybody wants to move into Fredericksburg. And so that's going to keep prices up. I mean, it just is. And it just, you know, it. If you want a less expensive house, move into Stafford or Spotsylvania suburbs.
Well, the dangerous aspect of this going forward is that we have now, and Princess Anne Projects is a classic example of this, we now have changed our zoning to where the staff can, for all intents and purposes, reinterpret what they can define what is affordable. They can define what the density should or should not be. It's amazing when you read their reports. They're now claiming that Princess Anne Project is a mixed-use development. By definition, in a mixed-use development, no portion of it, commercial versus residential, should be more than 75%. So it should be 75-25. Princess Anne Project is not even close to that definition. But because it's, quote, high-quality development, which, again, hits the affordability issue again, we have the ability to reinterpret our zoning. And they're reinterpreting left and right. It's now an affordable, as far as staff's concerned, it's an affordable project. You know, it meets all our goals. You know, it's amazing.
Basically, the staff is not following its own rules anymore. And city council says nothing about it. And, you know, I mean, you just look at the Mary's Landing project. The setbacks, the size of the lots, the size of the houses, none of that's allowed, you know, by the zoning. We've talked about this before. They went back to the 1800s or something, if I remember correctly.
You know, 1891, I believe.
The layout of the city back then and use that. Whereas, of course, well, then why would we use that if we put zoning into place back in the 70s? You know, you're supposed to, you know, go by what the zoning is now, not what the original layout of the city was, you know, 150 years ago.
And again, when you had the public hearing, one member of the Planning Commission asked some good questions, which didn't get answered. But the staff is not providing the Planning Commission with the information they need to make decisions. And this, they're supposed to go before the Planning Commission again tomorrow night. One of the things the Planning Commission asked for was, we want to see pictures of these 50-foot-tall buildings in relation to the layout of the buildings around them. One.
Right.
Two, we want to see diagrams or pictures showing how you are going to try to mitigate that impact. It's not in there.
They just
blew them off.
Yeah.
And went off on this tangent about we flew drones up and turned that you can't see it from the river. Nobody ever even brought that up. Yet that's what they're throwing into this report. And again, if you've read our post on this project, there's tons of information that they just flat out left out.
They just divert your attention somewhere else.
Did a lot of this start, because when we talked about the Mary's Landing situation and all of that, did that kind of start a lot of this?
That really kind of got the ball rolling, because to see the extent that the staff was willing to go
to
bend the rules to make that project work, which is what they're doing now in Princess Anne. And one other aspect of it, which is going to be very interesting to see, is we have Planning Commission appointments coming up. And we have one Planning Commissioner, Mary Margaret Marshall, who has been somewhat critical of staff and how they presented information to the points that we're making here, and she's up for reappointment. And there is some indication that basically this council wants a one-view-fits-all approach on boards and commissions. They want to make sure boards and commissions fit their line of thinking. And the question is whether she gets reappointed or not. So that'll be a interesting thing to see by the end of this month, whether she gets reappointed. I'm supposed to be up for an interview, and I never get interviewed. So not that that's ever going to happen, but that's the way they're thinking. When I was on council, I appointed people. You know, you look at the Adam Lynch's and the Dave Durham's, who I do not agree with on anything about development. But you need diversity of opinion on boards and commissions,
sure,
because that's where you get the debate, you get the ideas, and you get things done.
There is no diversity of opinion on city council. Everything's a 7-0 vote. And what can you be there? I mean, they're getting as bad.
And the boards and commissions are going to be the same way.
Yeah,
I've seen when especially with the Princess Anne development on Inform Fredericksburg on your Facebook page, a lot of people will ask the question. So, are you happy with how it looks now?
Well, no, you're not. But again, what was said, we had a plan for that corridor. We spent tens of thousands of dollars on that plan. We put guidelines together on that plan. We wanted it to be the new Mecca, and they just ignore it. I mean, they're not even mentioned in the staff report. And all we're saying is, why aren't you doing what you said you would do?
Why have a comprehensive plan if you're not going to follow it?
If you're not going to follow it. Yeah. And again, understand Princess Anne Project, that comes with 9 special exceptions and a special use permit. I mean, they're shoehorning this thing in. And contrary to what staff is saying, and it's a legitimate question, staff will use this project, if it's approved, as the example for future development. It's not precedent. We will judge each project by the project. No, they've already done it. They did it with this project. They did it with Mary's Landing. They did it with the railroad overlay. They did it with some of the buildings downtown where they said, oh, look, here's brand new development and how tall it is. So all the development should be like this.
In the old days, you would get a variance. You know, a little bit of a setback or something from a property line or whatever. Now they just use these blanket special exceptions, and then they don't have to do anything. They just basically the city washes their hands of any rules or regulations and just lets them build.
And what the biggest change is, when the council would get together for their retreats, the discussion at some point was, how do we better inform the public? How do we get information out to the public? Now, if you went and looked back the last ones, now the discussion has turned to, how do we better explain to the public what we're doing? It's not informing them and engaging them. It's, we know what's right for you. We need to make sure you understand that what we're doing is correct. I mean, that is the attitude we now have.
Matt Kelly here, Rick Poland here, is Inform Fredericksburg. More coming up on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It is 8:31.
From the Fredericksburg FreePress.com studios, this is News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. It's the only local talk show in Fredericksburg. Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Sponsored by Green Line Service Corp. Subscribe to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite streaming platform to hear Town Talk anytime, 24/7, 365. And now, Ted Schubel.
Inform Fredericksburg this morning. It is Matt Kelly and Rick Poland in Inform Fredericksburg. You can read up and comment on many of the things that we were talking about right now on both Facebook and Substack. And there, just go to Inform Fredericksburg or type that in, and you'll see the Facebook page there.
And subscribe.
Yeah, you can subscribe.
And then you'll get notices when we post.
You will get, which again is about once a week. That there's,
yeah, we're trying to get to once a week.
There is content to be talked about. The Brisbane Center. You've talked about the homeless in what's been going on with the Brisbane Center really since last summer. Was the first time I remember seeing something about that.
Yeah, last summer is when the city went to the shelter and basically said, you need to start taking in other individuals beyond the families and stuff that they do. And they said no, and there was a question of whether or not the city was going to pull or modify their special use permit. That kind of went away because, again, there was a public outcry about that. And now, of course, they still were defunded by the city, so the city is not giving them any financial support. They do not get any state or federal support because, as has been made clear by a lot of people, you know, they don't follow the HUD guidelines for the homeless, because they...
What is a homeless person?
Yeah, what is a homeless person? What are the definition is and everything else like this? But nobody would question the fact that they provide a service. They provide a service to a component of the homeless community, which is, you know, families and stuff. And they're trying to get them back on their feet with employment and training and get them out and back into being productive members of the community and such like that. And then you have others and groups. And again, with the latest post, in no way are we in any way saying that Mike is a problem or anybody else. I mean, they all perform a service for different groups and different services for different groups. And, you know, the only question is why is this one organization, Thurman Brisbane Shelter, being singled out for basically being defunded? And a lot of people, again, say, well, they don't follow the COC guidelines. Well, COC guidelines or the HUD guidelines. Oh, Continuum of Care, which is a federally mandated organization that is social service groups that deal with the homeless. And
it's like an umbrella thing.
What's interesting about it is HUD, originally the COC was Continuum of Care, which means they funded emergency shelters, then intermediate shelters, then into housing. Mm-hmm. And then they trashed that and went to this rapid rehousing. Just get the person into a home and then bombard them with services and everything else like that.
Services are limited.
Very limited. And again, all that Thurman Brisbane Shelter is trying to do is saying, hey, we are providing a service to residents of the city of Fredericksburg. These are families that are lived here in Fredericksburg. We've talked about ALICE, Access Limited. I mean, we've got 31% of our population falls within that category, which are right on the edge, and we've got 18% below the poverty line. You know, this is kind of that group of individuals that falls into what the Thurman Brisbane provides, yet there are really no services within the city to deal with that population beyond a grant, which is $200,000 a year, which doesn't cover squat.
But what Thurman Brisbane does, it educates people to get a job mm-hmm. and become, a productive member of society again. And, that MICA doesn't do that. I mean, MICA houses.
Well, that's focus is not that. I'm not right. saying that they don't.
Okay. But I mean, but that's, what Thurman Brisbane does. And also, as Matt said earlier, it's families. They bring in families. So it's not appropriate for a lot of these homeless to be in the Thurman Brisbane shelter because of the threat to children, basically. And so, and that's why they've resisted. That's why they basically keep doing what they're doing, and they're doing a lot of good. But the city doesn't really see it that way. And so they, and the vast majority of our homeless or as Matt was saying, the at-risk ALICE people are not being served. It's only, now we have about, what's identified, I think it's about 150 homeless in the city. And that's what MICA is serving. Also, Thurman Brisbane is, but MICA is getting all the funding, and and basically they warehouse people and to get them out of the cold and all that kind of stuff.
The other aspect of it is having served on the first shelter board many, many, many years ago, when we did mix populations, it breaking up fights. Abuse and things of that nature, occurred. And when you don't have staff trained to deal with that, it becomes a problem. And, that's a given. So you really do not want to have the two groups together. That's why you also have Hope House, which is a separate just for families also.
Yeah.
But they've got very limited spaces. You've got the Haven. You're not going to ask the Haven and Hope House to do this. So why? And Thurman's basically doing a similar mission. Why are you asking them to do it and not? And again, when we first started the shelter program a long time ago, the church has stepped up to the plate and used space that they had that can still be there. We know we still have the cold weather shelter. My biggest issue on the homeless issue is that we've not had a very good community conversation on what is the issue, what are the problems, what are the groups, what are the services we have, what do we need to provide, and are we using our resources in the best possible way? And we're just not. We're just going, this is what HUD and the state says, and this is what we're going to do. And if you don't do it, you're out.
And they're only asking for $40,000 from the city. I mean, it's not a lot of money. And it's a small part of their budget. And so anybody listening out there wants to donate to a good cause, Thurman Brisbane Homeless Shelter is one.
When was it that this all – when did they get dropped off?
Oh, it's been years since they've been off. The COC – the COC took them off the – Okay. Again, they don't. I'm just every time I hear this. Well, they don't follow the rules. Well, maybe we need to look at the rules and see what's really going on here instead of just blatantly going, "This is what the rules are."
And one of the interesting things is, when we post a story on the homeless shelter, it blows up. I mean, it's one of the biggest stories, gets the biggest attention, the biggest audience. So there's a lot of people out there who really care about this, and city council needs to understand that.
Will there be if people feel that way with budget time, this is the chance to make your
that's one of the things we're trying to do a little bit more on issues that are going to come up in the budget, come up in the upcoming budget, and try to get some attention to that as we go forward in the budget cycle. And this is just one of another one we're trying to get, and we'll probably running into a brick wall, is to look at the department budgets to see what actually the departments are asking for. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you the key word in a lot of those is deferred. But we never talk about that as a council, and frankly, the city manager's decided that that's working papers and he doesn't have to release it. And the only reason he can use the working papers exemption under FOIA is to basically acknowledge that he's not even giving that information to the council, which is kind of bizarre, because when I was on council, I always looked at at the department budgets, but I guess nobody else is interested in doing that now.
Informed Fredericksburg this morning. Rick Pullen and Matt Kelly here this morning on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Council is going in its own little world, in its own direction, and basically leaving the public, you know, out of the discussion. Now, there might be a majority, and anything else, there's majority, minority, but you always try to address concerns, answer questions, and have a good discussion. But we're not having that. It's just we've decided we're going in this direction, and we're going to go in this direction. And I think for us, you know, that's the biggest issue here. You saw it in Princess Anne. It was, well, you know, our idea for, you know, it's called a maker's district for a reason. It was supposed to be a commercial enterprise zone, this new, we're going to get startups, mm-hmm. we're going to do all these wonderful things. Well, it didn't work. Okay, then why aren't we having the conversation of why didn't it work? What is our economic development department doing? How are we doing these things? Railway overlay district. Oh, it didn't work. We wanted commercial development. Well, there was no discussion at all of why didn't it work? What was
Again,
the city doing or didn't do?
It's all about transparency.
Transparency.
You know, I mean, go back to the tax issue. 30 seconds. I mean, I timed it. It was basically 30 seconds in one meeting that this tax raising taxes came up. And then when Matt tries to find out more going into, like, for documents and all that, he's stonewalled. Why? I mean, if you're going to raise taxes, tell people now. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, it's like, you know, we understand city, you know, government costs something. But this council is so secretive about everything it does.
In fact, well, to one little correction, we did get information from City Hall with regard to the tax issue, but all the information did was basically confirm the fact that the council wasn't talking about it or wasn't being yeah. made public.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's I don't understand the psychology there, the paranoia there. I just don't know what's going on with City Council that they just can't be open with the public.
And that's why, ultimately, why Inform Fredericksburg yep. was founded.
And we'll continue, and we'll just, you know, keep on, because it's just, there's just so much out there that the public doesn't know, and we're just seeing the tip of the iceberg. I mean, there's so much underneath. I mean, I hear stories every other day about crazy things going on in the city, and, you know, and Matt and I are not doing this full time, and, you know, and it's just so, you know, we don't have time to investigate everything, and sometimes it takes months to find stuff out, like the tax issue, you know, that started back last fall, but it's just, you know, it's that kind of thing. We'll just continue to do it. It's, you know, a free press, you know, is, you know, basically holding public officials' feet to the fire. I mean, that's what we do.
And I will say, when we talk about Councilman McIntosh, he's been a frequent guest here. Mm-hmm. He's always mm-hmm. willing to come in and, yep.
and
always.
And he is the only one.
Yes.
I mean, give him credit.
He does.
You know,
he will answer anything.
He will talk about stuff, whereas not a single other member of City Council will come on the radio and talk about issues. And, you know, and it goes back to what I said. He is the leader on City Council because he is willing to talk about issues. He is willing to raise controversial issues. Now, he's going to get shot down on some. I mean, that's just politics. But, you know, he's the only one willing to do that, and nobody else on council is.
Quick break. We'll wrap it up this morning with Rick Pullen and Matt Kelly in Form Fredericksburg on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, sponsored by Green Line Service Corp. You can access all episodes of Town Talk online at newstalk1230.net or on your favorite podcast streaming platform. Now, back to your host, Ted Schubel.
Matt Kelly and Rick Pullen in this morning for Inform Fredericksburg. You can catch them on Facebook. One of the issues that we have talked about for years, Matt, and I know to and you're not happy about that. It's just the fact the new fire station.
Yeah, the fire station that we said was an absolute must back in 2008, and here we are. God knows, almost two decades later.
We got a site for it.
And it's an interesting situation there. And it's kind of a microcosm of what the issues are in the city, in that instead of budgeting out, you know, the city and staff will claim, oh, we've got a CIP and we plan out our CIP. Yeah, but we never follow it. We basically budget year to year. And we talked earlier about pushing things off. And that's what we do. We have so much money. We spend it for the year, we focus it, we get it done, and then we push everything back and back and back. And the fire station has been pushed and pushed and pushed. And again, what we're not talking about with regards to the budget is, oh, we're going to build a fire station. Okay, well, you need 18 to 21 firemen to man the station. You need this amount of equipment, which is going to be in the millions of dollars. And as we reported, the recent suit that was filed by some of the EMS personnel, which pointed out some glaring issues with regards to how we handle paying our firemen and EMS personnel, and the question
or
not paying them. And, you know, why are we having, you know, separate EMS and separate fires where all the other jurisdictions it's combined and things of this nature? You know, we need to have these kind of conversations with the public to understand, you know, what we as taxpayers can expect over the next 5 years on what's going to happen to our tax rate and what we're going to get for that. But we don't get that information, you know, when...
Well, I mean, let the public know that, they settled a lawsuit.
They did.
And they're going to pay the EMS people more money.
Yeah. You know,
so that's...
And then they're now have to take a decision. Do they continue the process of having to pay overtime to EMS? Do they hire more EMS personnel so they stay within 40-hour a week? You know, how do they change this? Do they go to another system where everybody's trained the same? And how do the firemen feel about this?
And our firemen and EMS, we pay over $500,000 a year in overtime.
Overtime.
Instead of hiring enough people.
Yeah, we've got firemen about over 1,000 hours of overtime.
Yeah. And we just, you know, I mean, hire more people, but we don't pay enough, so nobody wants to work in Fredericksburg. They'd rather, you know, go north.
We're also always perpetually short of police officers.
Yeah. What are we, 8 down or 6 down?
Last we looked, I think it was 8, but it was a few months ago when we looked at that. But the fact of the matter is, public safety is a primary goal and mission of local government, yet we spend little time talking about it, and it needs a lot of work. But yet we're now talking about spending $7 million for improvements so we can ride our bicycles downtown, which I'm not saying is a bad thing, but we really need to start focusing on the basic services and priorities as opposed to, and we don't do that.
Yeah.
And I guess this is the time when you talk priorities with City Council.
Right before we go into the budget season.
Yeah. If you've got issues with that, that's where the public can talk.
If you remember, and this is what's interesting, the Planning Commission years ago said you need to start explaining to the public not only what they're getting, but what you are deferring, what is being pushed out, what is being pushed back or not funded.
Not too many years ago, they were going to build this new fire station for, I think, 10 or 12 million.
Now it's 20.
Like 20 million. Really? And that's just because delay.
Yeah.
Same thing with the wastewater treatment plant. The total cost is up, 150, 170 million. We have gotten a lot of state money and grants.
Which we would have gotten anyway, even if we'd done with a regional project, which made more sense.
We done it years ago, but City Council, delay on all types of stuff. And instead, they focus on stuff like Matt's saying, like on two-way streets and bike trails, when, you know, they really should be focusing on what, you know, is really the costly stuff and trying to keep the cost down. But council has never, this council, has never looked at the cost of anything. They just spend. And that's why your taxes go up. That's why your utility fees skyrocket.
And again, to see what you're writing and what's being discussed, and you can join the discussion on Facebook or Substack.
Yeah, say Facebook, just Inform Fredericksburg, and then Substack, you can put Inform Fredericksburg, it'll come up, and you can subscribe and get your updates. And for free, we're not
charging.
It'll
show up in your email every week.
It'll show up in every email every week.
So you won't miss a thing.
Thanks for what you do. Thanks for coming in. We'll talk again soon. Rick Pullen and Matt Kelly in this morning with Inform Fredericksburg. Thanks guys.
For having us.
Thank you.
That is it. Thank you for listening. We'll see you in the morning.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, sponsored by Green Line Service Corp. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite streaming platform. The Glenn Beck Program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.